And welcome back to the Tuned In
Let's
Podcast.
Go.
Andrew and Braden here with episode 26.
Yes, sir.
It's been a good time. How are you feeling?
I'm pretty good. Our finals week is over. In case any of you were wondering, we survived. And it's beautiful outside if it doesn't rain today, but good time to be alive. How are you doing?
Yeah, no, it's been really great outside here in Utah. I love to see that some of the snow in the mountains is hopefully melting and we can go on some hikes. I'm excited for that.
Oh yeah. This
and
is the best
finals
time of
being
year.
Over is one of the best feelings. So
oh yeah. It's such a weight off your shoulders. You gotta love it.
Definitely.
We have a really exciting episode for you all today. We're kind of getting creative a little here. Not a lot of Jazz stuff going on, but there is a lot to talk about for the future of the Jazz. So we're gonna go into who the Jazz might possibly draft. We have our Jazz big board that we're going to unveil for you today. Of course, we'll talk about the NBA playoffs as we talked about last time. We got some other NBA news. And then we're going to end our episode talking about the new NHL team in Utah. And we're going to have a little discussion about what should we call the team. So it should be a great episode today.
Yeah, make sure to follow us on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast. Also, go to our Instagram. We're going to actually start posting, starting with this episode, a little clip each episode on Instagram that you can react to get excited about the Jazz throughout the off season. So make sure to follow us on Instagram and stay tuned in.
Yes, and this is episode 26 of Tuned In Jazz.
Well, like we said, there's not a ton going on with the Jazz. Now that there's no games, we don't need to necessarily talk about any action, I would say. But throughout this offseason, we do have a lot of good things, including like the lottery coming up. That'll be good for Jazz fans. Maybe we can move up in that. We got the draft and we got the Olympics, even though not directly with the Jazz, that'll be exciting. And so we'll keep you tuned in with all those things. And I think it's a great way to start the off season by talking about the draft.
Oh, absolutely.
I will say we were looking at like the mock drafts that people made. Like I think Bleacher Report has one, The Ringer, NBA.net. There's like a ton that you can Google search.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how many of them are like set and accurate though, because I feel like there's going to be a lot of moving around. So we were trying to figure out like which players the Jazz could get and which ones might be gone already by eight, if that's the pick we have. But I don't know, what were kind of your thoughts looking through like all the mock drafts?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, the sad thing is like we really don't know what pick we're even going to have, so it's kind of hard to like know what's even going to be available. I think one of your mock drafts had us at 2. Obviously, if the lottery treats us nice, that would be awesome.
Yeah, shout out to The Ringer, had us at number 2.
But I guess reality probably says otherwise. It probably might end up closer to where we're projected, like 8 or 9 or 7 or wherever. So, yeah, there's who knows? There's some guys we're looking at, though, that could be very good for the Jazz. So,
yeah, I will say, I think I made an error in a past episode with what I said about our pick. I'm pretty sure we have a chance to move up to 1. I think we have like a 6% chance or something.
Uh-huh.
But we could still fall to 10. I think. See. So I thought we were locked in at 8 or higher, but I think we still could fall to 10. But we'd still have our pick from the Thunder. So no matter what, we have the pick. It's just, it could go down to 10 or up to 1. Who knows?
Yeah. So that'll be good. Hopefully the guys we want are still available by then. Mm-hmm. Either way. But we put together kind of a Jazz big board who we want to see the Jazz go get, or at least as a type of player as well, maybe. Who do you have at the top of your list?
I will say, go look at our past episode during March Madness. We made our guys to look for in March Madness for the Jazz. Mine will echo that slightly.
Yeah,
but my number one guy that the Jazz need to take with their pick, if he's available, is Stephon Castle of UConn.
Okay.
Nice. And let me just tell you a little bit about Stephon Castle. I think he would fit perfectly with the pieces that we have already on the team, because we already got Markkanen as pretty much the best off-ball scorer in the league right now. And we got Keontae George to kind of run the show and to score as well.
Yeah.
Stephon Castle doesn't, he also doesn't really need the ball in his hands all the time, but he is able to score and create his own shot if needed. And so I think he would be a great fit with Keontae and Lowry because he can kind of do a little bit of both, being off the ball and creating his own shot. And on UConn, he was part of one of the most intricate offenses with all the screens and stuff. So I think he'll fit in perfectly with like what Will Hardy wants to do as well. So
yeah,
he's smart. He's versatile. I think he's perfect for our team.
Yeah, that's actually a great pick. That's who I had my number one.
Let's go.
I don't believe that I mentioned him in our previous episode. I think, if I remember right, you did, but I had left him off my list. But yeah, watching him in March Madness, he was a really important part of that team. And to your point that you just made, I'm kind of loving these UConn guys because they know how to play in a system. None of them played selfish. They all just were trying to win. And that's the kind of players we need on the Jazz. So I like Stephon Castle. That's my number one as well.
Okay. Well, I hope that he falls to us, please.
Yes.
Let the ping pong balls go our way.
Yeah.
But let's go number two. Who did you have for number two on your big board?
Well, I'm staying in Connecticut because I really like Donovan Clingan. I think he's an interesting fit with the Jazz just because of what position he'd play. I'm not one that really wants to move on from Walker Kessler yet, but if Donovan Clingan's available, or the best available, I think he wouldn't be a bad piece. Good defender, decent scorer, can stretch the floor a little bit, which is what we need. So I kind of like him at my number two available, at least.
Yeah, I can't remember a ton of shooting threes from him in the tournament, but can he, like, shoot threes?
Yeah, there's been a couple games where I've seen him, like, you know, teams leave him open and he hits them. I don't know if that necessarily means he can hit them consistently, obviously, but it's not like out of the realm of what he's capable of. So who knows? Maybe he could develop that in an NBA setting.
Yeah, I definitely think that might be like his weakness.
Yeah.
Another weakness, he's not the best free throw shooter either.
Yeah, so that's true.
But I mean, that's already what we have with Walker Kessler.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd feel kind of sad just because I think he would definitely take all of Walker Kessler's minutes if we drafted him. I don't know. So I'm a little bit... Donovan Clingan looks amazing.
Yeah.
But just because we have Kessler, I'm like, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think Donovan Clingan could be like a super high reward, but also could not be very fruitful. So that's kind of definitely more of a risky pick, but it would be interesting for sure.
Yeah. I definitely think he's going to go in the lottery for sure, though.
Oh, yeah. Who do you have at your number two in your big board?
Yeah, I have Ron Holland from the G League as my
that's a good one.
It's my second guy on the big board, and I think last time on our other episode we did mention him, even though he wasn't in March Madness.
Yeah,
he was one of the top guys like a year or two ago. Going into
this draft, he was supposed
to
be number one pick. Yeah,
he was supposed to be number one. Okay.
Yeah.
So he's dropped a little bit. I see him kind of in the mid-lottery in some of the mock drafts.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of the range we're in. He is not the best three-point shooter in the world.
No.
And maybe not the most efficient, but he is very athletic. He's a pretty good defender. He's super young, so he has a lot that he can learn. And he can pretty much create his own shot and get buckets anytime. So I don't know. I think he could grow to become a little bit better of a 3-point shooter, and he's already got the scoring and the defense. So I think that could be a good pick.
Yeah, if I'm being honest, I don't know how much I really love G League Ignite, just like for how it prepares players for the NBA. I haven't really seen anywhere.
I think it's
anywhere.
Ending this year. This is the last
is it really?
Year of it.
Well,
yeah,
I could see why. because I just think like looking at a guy like Scoot Henderson. Really talented player, but I don't think he was very prepared for the NBA. So, like, anyways, to your point, I really like Ron Holland, and I wonder with some actual development coaches and better people to get him ready for the NBA if he would be able to develop a little bit of that shooting more, maybe. But I like that pick. That's a really good one.
Yeah, it's crazy. These guys are all 19, too. They're so young.
Yeah.
Or at least not all of them are 19, but the majority.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy. Okay, who'd you have at number three?
Well, this is a guy I've been really big on him this season. I really love Dalton Knecht. I think that he would be a really interesting fit next to Lauri Markkanen, assuming Lauri plays the four in an ideal lineup. Dalton Knecht's a good shooter. His ability to create shots in the tournament was like insane. Like without him, that team was hardly a tournament team. So I just really like him. Defensively, he's really long. Probably not the most athletic, but you know.
He's a really good 3-point shooter, or at least one of the better ones in the draft for sure.
Really solid. Yeah. So that's my number three available.
Yeah, I love that. I think he would also fit pretty well into our offense. And I think Wood Hardy and our team identity makes anybody be able to become a better defender once they come.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, also Ed, he is a little older. He is 23.
Mm-hmm.
So that that hurts a little bit his stock, but his talent's there for sure.
Yeah, I think Danny Ainge talked in his press conference a little about older players and them being more plug and play. So that I think that would be more of that, but it's also that kind of takes away from his ability to like develop a little. So yeah, that's a good point. Who do you have next on your list?
Yeah, so this is my third and final guy for like that lottery pick that we have.
Mm-hmm.
I got Jacoby Walter of Baylor. I still really like him. I'm mostly drafting for fit here because I'm sure if we get to our pick and he's the guy that we draft, it probably won't be the best player available, I would say.
No.
But I still really like his fit with our team. I think he, kind of similar to Stephon Castle, he can be an all right defender and he can hit shots alongside Keyonte and Lauri Markkanen, so I got him.
Yeah, I like that. We got to create us a Baylor backcourt real quick.
Yeah.
With those two guys. That would be really nice, I think. He's showed some flashes this year. He's been really nice. With my next pick, this guy is a tough one. I really like Jared McCain from Duke.
Mm.
The tough thing is that he's projected in like the early 20s, maybe a little lower than that. So the Jazz would either have to reach for him or they would have to get really lucky. But I really do like him and I think he would fit nicely next to like Keyonte or even just in a rotation with Keyonte. Really good at passing the ball. In the tournament, he had some games where he just took over scoring wise and was just
a good 3-point shooter.
Yeah, excellent 3-point shooter. A decent defender. He was guarding some really elite guards in the tournament and didn't seem to struggle too much. So I like him a lot. We would have to get really lucky or we would have to probably risk a lot to get him, but I like him a lot.
Yeah. I definitely feel like our number three guys are a little bit of a reach, but a good fit nonetheless.
Oh, definitely.
So I love that pick with Jared McCain. Have you seen him on TikTok? Or like those like little short videos, kind of funny dude. But
he's got a NIL. Well, I don't know if it's still going, but he had an NIL deal with a nail polish company because he's like always painting his nails. He's kind of a different dude, but he you know that's totally fine. Everybody's allowed to be different.
I guess you do your thing. You do your thing. Yeah. I guess. Yeah.
Absolutely. Who do you have next on your list? I think we're at number four.
Yes. So my next two guys are more towards like our 20. What pick? I guess we have the 29th pick and the 32nd pick. So it'd be one of those.
Yeah, be there right at the end.
I kind of doubt that this guy's going to be on the board down there. So maybe it's kind of in the middle. But I got Kevin McCollar from Kansas.
Ooh, I like that pick.
He's also 23, so he's a little older. But his NBA comparison, at least in the past, was Josh Hart, where he kind of does a little bit of everything on the court with rebounding and assisting. Hitting shots.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he could just be a good like role player and he could kind of fit wherever he needs to on our team. So if he's available at 29, I think definitely take him. And yeah.
Yeah, I like that pick.
Yeah, who did you have number four? Is it for a high pick or low one?
I got mine for a low pick. I've got Tyler Kolek. I really like Tyler Kolek.
I was going to put him on mine, but I didn't quite.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that you had him.
Yeah, I think he would create a really interesting backcourt with Keyonte, although I feel like he's a little bigger. I can't remember how tall he is, but so he could play probably the three or the two. But I mean, a really good playmaker. I was impressed in the tournament.
He's
especially.
6 foot three, actually, so not super tall.
Oh, 6'3"? Oh, okay. Yeah. In college, it's always hard to tell because 6'3 might be tall in college, right. But not like in a real NBA setting. But yeah, I was impressed by his playmaking ability. I just think he could be a really good scorer in the NBA. I'm not sure that he could be like a key guy for us, but I could see him being a nice role player, a guy that could come in and hit shots, 3-and-D type of guy. He'd be one that the Jazz should definitely look at, I think.
Yeah, I'd see him as like a Tyus Jones type of player. Maybe that's a good comparison.
Definitely. Yeah, I like that.
Okay, I got my last one.
Okay.
Oh, I just barely looked at it. I actually did have Tyler Kolick as my last one.
Oh,
so
nice.
I think that goes in perfectly. So, yeah, same reasons. He'd be a great point guard off the bench. So.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, who's your five?
The only other guy I had that I thought I'd mention, I really like Jamal Shedd a lot.
Mm.
Currently, I see in like a lot of predictions, he's like predicted around the late 30s. So it might be just a little bit of a reach to get him. But in the second round, you don't really reach. You just get the guy you want, I guess. But
yeah,
I just think as a defender, that would be really good for the Jazz to get a guard in there that could come in and guard the best guy on the other team. He's a little bit small, 6'1" for, I mean, I guess that's not tiny, but just a little bit short. But I think he could turn into a solid defensive guy for us that we could put into certain rotations and lineups. I like Jamal Shedd a lot.
Yeah, I think putting him alongside Chris Dunn's getting a little bit older. He could kind of pass on a lot of that knowledge and experience he's gained if we drafted him. So that could be good for sure.
Yeah, that's true. He kind of fits that Chris Dunn mold a little, what we would hope he could become. Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of our guys that we predicted for later are like 20 plus, like 21 for Jamal Shedd, 23 for some of our other guys. So I think that makes a lot of sense. Those later picks kind of get the guys that have a little bit more experience.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Could just kind of be plugged in, yeah.
Yeah, it's nice to, like with the early picks, you're like looking for guys who like could change your franchise or at least improve your lineup. But these guys are just like, how could we just get a little bit of an improvement from them to like turn them into like a rotation guy? And, you know, some of them could turn into really nice pieces, but you don't really expect it.
Yeah, I think it's a funny analogy. They call those players the Alfreds. So they're not the Batman or the Robin, but they're the Alfred.
Oh, like that.
So like the third fiddle or fourth fiddle to the team that can help you out. So that's kind of what we're looking for in the last couple picks, if we could get
the Andre Iguodalas, if you will.
Yeah.
That's kind of the role he played for those Warriors teams. Kind of funny. I like that.
Yeah. I'll also shout out Baylor Shireman from Creighton. If we drafted him, I'd also
be
excited.
Good pick too. Oh, yeah. Him and Dalton Connect were the two best small forwards in college basketball this year, I think. So,
yeah,
that would we could use some help in that area. So that's a good one too.
All right, well that's our big board. Let us know if there's anybody you think we should draft, or if you feel good about the picks that we made. We'll probably post that on Instagram so you can see some of the guys that we were predicting.
Yeah, absolutely. Last week, we predicted, if you haven't watched last week's episode, please do, because we predicted our NBA playoff bracket. It was pretty similar. I think we only had one that was different. But, you know, a couple games in, how are you feeling about your picks? Does anything stood out to you from the playoffs so far?
Let's start with the Knicks-Sixers series, because I think that's the most exciting one,
that
at least in
really
my
exciting.
Opinion.
Yeah.
I thought that the Sixers got robbed, man.
Yeah,
they should have won game two when I think later the refs came out and said that they missed a foul call on on Maxey that really would have won them the game. But I don't know. I think the Sixers really have a chance to upset the Knicks. They look really good, even though Embiid's on one leg. He looks like he's really good anyways. So
yeah, I totally agree. I don't know if you saw last night. It came out that apparently Embiid has Bell's palsy right now, which I don't know exactly what that does to your body, but it doesn't sound very good. But he's going to play through it. So, yeah, I agree with you. The Sixers could pull this thing off if they... I think they're going to have to win before Game 7. Like, I don't think they can go to Game 7 and win that on the road, but They could.
Actually Googled Bell's palsy. It's a condition that causes sudden weakness in the muscles on one side of the face.
Oh, okay.
So I think he was kind of like blinking and like couldn't really see very well. So I don't know. I think that that would really stink on basketball. You can't see like half of what's going on. So
yeah, it's bad timing.
Yeah, I don't even know if I've ever seen that.
I don't think I have.
Pretty
either.
Unique. So hopefully he can get that figured out.
Yeah, on that same
course,
note,
of course it would be Joel Embiid that would get injured in a way we've never seen before.
Oh, absolutely. That's just, he's just prone to it. Speaking of like upset watch teams, we were predicting the Celtics to be on a wrecking path to the finals, but the Heat stole a game on the road.
Oh my goodness.
And I don't know if they're going to win the series, but Miami is not a team that's probably going to get swept. I mean, they definitely won't get swept now, but like, it'll be interesting. I wonder if they'll catch another game on at home, or that's been
no
a really
chance.
Interesting series.
I don't think the Heat will win another game, I'll be real.
You don't think? I don't
I'm
know.
I'm surprised they had a all-time best game from three-point to
yeah,
win.
That's
and
true.
So I don't, there's no way they're going to do that again. But I'll also give it to the Heat. Last year, I was also very much a doubter. So
yeah,
if they just keep proving us wrong, good on them. But I think it's going to be three more games and over for the Heat.
You think so? Yeah, I still think Celtics will win. I could see it going maybe six, maybe catch one more game. I don't know. I thought it was funny. I don't know if you saw Jimmy Butler posted, "Don't let us catch a game." Did you see that?
Yeah, I did see that.
It was so funny. Based off Jaylen Brown's comments last year, it was pretty funny. But in the West, though, there's some good series. Clips and Mavs are tied 1-1. That's the one we thought was going to be really close.
Yeah, I think it'll still be good. Honestly, The Clippers, game one, they didn't have Kawhi. They won, and it was pretty convincing. Game two, Kawhi comes back, and they honestly looked worse with Kawhi on the court. Like, he's definitely not to his peak condition.
No.
And hopefully he gets things figured out for game three. But yeah, I don't know. They looked better without him. That's pretty much my only take for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. I just think it's interesting. I saw breaking news that he was going to be playing, and it's kind of sad that it has to be breaking news when your star player plays. Like, he just has... It's just hard to get your team going.
They are real injuries. Like, he's actually...
For sure.
But I know he's trying his best to play. So.
Yeah, I don't think he's completely just like a baby or whatever, but I do think that like sometimes you have to play through stuff, even if it's, you know, like that's what all the greats do, you know? So I don't know. I'm kind of the opinion that I think it hurts his team for him to just be in and out so often, but
right,
kind of interesting.
Maybe like, one last series we could talk about just... Uh-huh. Last night, the Nuggets went up 3-0 on the Lakers.
Yeah.
It's a tough scene. All those games, they just like last year, they have been pretty close games.
Yeah.
I think game two was the Lakers game to win, and Jamal Murray hit that buzzer beater. That was crazy. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Tough season for the Lakers. Nobody's ever come back 3-0, so I guess we kind of just assume that it's over at this point, right?
Yeah, Lakers are so confusing to me. They just have such a good roster, but they just cannot figure out how to win games. And I don't know. It's easy to keep blaming it on the coaching, but maybe it also has to do with players not being coachable. I don't know. But yeah, I think their season's done. They'll probably end tomorrow night.
Yeah, they also just couldn't hit a three to save their life last game.
Absolutely.
And I think that's really what stopped it for him. Because LeBron can do his thing. AD can do his thing.
Yeah,
but you got to have guys hit shots, and they just didn't have that this time.
No. Yep, the Nuggets are a pretty good team as well. I think they won a championship recently, didn't they?
Yep.
Another piece of NBA news, Jontay Porter, which I actually didn't realize until Andrew told me that he's Michael Porter's brother. I didn't put that together. He just received a lifetime ban from the NBA for betting on games. Do you have any thoughts on this? I guess it's kind of a crazy thing.
It's ugly. It's ugly. Yeah. I hope this doesn't happen again. So I'm glad that, of course, like, he's not a big name player, so they can give him a lifetime ban and nobody's really going to care that it's a fan. So I just hope this doesn't happen again. I if you're betting, he also bet on himself, like to be bad. Like he bet on his under on points and won money. I think it also came out he bet on his own team to lose. So like that's I don't know. That's just so sad. Like why are you the way that you are?
Yeah, it puts the NBA in a really bad spot because they look really bad because they let guys like Draymond Green literally just commit violence, and then even worse, you've got guys committing like felony level domestic violence like Miles Bridges, and they get a season, and NBA has to put their foot down here because that could affect how the whole NBA plays if players can like bet on their own games, you know? And so, but it's a really bad look for the NBA. So it's really unfortunate.
Yeah. I was raised to say honesty is the best policy.
Oh, absolutely.
So absolutely. Not a huge fan of that.
Yeah.
But in other news, we also got our sixth man of the year and our most improved player.
Yeah.
Maybe starting with the sixth man of, it was the closest sixth man of the year race in NBA history this year.
Yep.
So Naz Reid ended up winning it, and then Malik Monk came in second. I'll ask you this. Do you think it would be too weird or too bad to do like co-sixth man of the years and just give it to both of them?
Interesting. I don't think that would be terrible. I mean, it reminds me of, didn't Carmelo and John Stockton share the All-Star MVP one year, I think?
It's like back, but nobody cares about the All-Star MVP.
That's true, but honestly. I mean, it's just the precedent of it. It's happened a little before, but that would be interesting. I wouldn't be super opposed to it.
I remember they've given out co-rookie of the year before. I can't remember who it was. Maybe I'll look it up real quick. Oh, yeah, it was in the 1994 to 95 season. Oh, it was Grant Hill and Jason Kidd both won Rookie of the Year.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
And then actually the 1999-2000, Elton Brand and Steve Francis both won Rookie of the Year. So they've done stuff like that before.
I think it's a good idea. However, I would hate it if it became like a regular thing, like if it just happened all the time. I feel like that's just kind of... But
maybe it could be like if the vote is a certain... If there's like a certain margin where the votes are close enough, then you could do it. I think that could be a good idea, especially if this is the closest in history.
Yeah, I think Naz Reid won just simply because his team's better. I honestly think Malik Monk's the better player off the bench, but it's hard to make the case when your team doesn't even make the playoffs. You just lose in the play-in, you know? So.
Yeah, I agree. Give credit to both guys. I think Malik Monk deserved it just as much. So
absolutely. Absolutely. And then... our league most improved player, I'm blanking on, was Tyrese Maxey. That's right. What do you think about this one? There was a lot of people were mad. Coby White didn't win it. Alperen Sengun, I think, was the other finalist. Right.
I think it was well deserved. He was pretty much like the leading candidate for the majority of the year before Coby White just dominated. And I think Coby White has jumped his points per game up by 10, which is the most. So technically, like stat-wise, it should have been Coby White, but I think Tyrese Maxey just had like a higher peak, so that they just gave it to him for that reason. And the Bulls didn't have a great season overall, so I guess that's also a good winning helps, right? So I don't know. I think it could have gone either way, but worked out for Tyrese.
Yeah, I totally agree. I heard somebody say, I don't know how true this is, but I heard somebody on Twitter say the other day that it's harder to go from good to great than it is to from okay to good, which is kind of what happened with Coby White going, because Tyrese Maxey was pretty good last year. He played a really important role for them, averaged almost 20 points a game if I remember right last year.
Yeah, he did.
So him making the jump to being an all-star is pretty huge. So
not only an all-star, but like probably all NBA too.
He could be all NBA. Yeah,
he'll be in the mix. I don't know if he'll get in there, but Yeah, he was really good.
Yeah, he balled out this year. Some of you may have seen we posted we posted on our Instagram that there was a NHL welcoming party happening last Wednesday. Unfortunately, right in the middle of our finals week, I didn't get to go. I assume you probably didn't either. Is that right? But
Looked fun, though.
It did look really fun. Apparently, they were at max capacity, turning people away. The line was wrapped around the building from what they posted. So there's a lot of excitement about the new NHL team coming to Salt Lake, and rightfully so. It should be exciting.
Yeah, and this leads to our first Instagram segment of the podcast. So after this episode airs, go to our Instagram and leave us a comment on your thoughts about the hockey team, and let's get into it. So with the Utah hockey team, we have 9 potential names that we could have: the Utah Blizzard, Utah Venom, Utah Furry, Utah Hockey Team, Utah Hockey Club, Utah Yetis, Utah Outlaws, Utah Mammoth, and Utah Ice. I know that's fast, but out of those 9 hockey team names, which one do you feel like Ryan Smith should take?
Oh, man. I think, yeah, there's a lot of good. I like Utah Blizzard a lot. It's very fitting for Utah with all our snow. And I think there's a lot you could do with that. Blizzards is a cool one.
Yeah, I was going to say Blizzards as well. And I also like Utah Mammoth. I think that Mammoth would be pretty cool. Dope. So let us know in the comments what name you would like Ryan Smith to take. Okay, that was our Instagram segment. Go check that out on Instagram. And we'll be excited for some hockey. Have you been watching the NHL playoffs at all?
I've been trying to follow it a little. Yeah, it's. I forgot how hard it is to just like get into a new league when you don't know anything about any teams. But it's, yeah, hockey's a fun sport to watch. I'm excited to get into it next year.
Yeah, I think I was talking to my friend who is from Colorado, and he's like watched Avalanche games, and they actually won a Stanley Cup a couple years ago. And he said it was really exciting when you have a team. And so I think it makes sense. Like maybe right now it's kind of hard to watch because we don't know anybody. I honestly don't know like the rules that super well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it'll be a little bit different when it's our team.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's easy when you got an invested interest in it. So. That'll be really cool. Thank you so much all for joining us on our episode today. We hope that your start of your summer goes amazing, that you stay safe out there. And don't forget, follow us on Instagram, Spotify, share this episode with a friend. We would love to get more people involved in our conversation about the Jazz.
Yeah. Enjoy the summer, please. It's going to be so good. Take care.
Peace.